Well, I want us to pray and prepare our hearts for God's word together. Let's just believe the Lord to speak to us by his Spirit today. Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, and we come with humble and open hearts. Lord, we ask that by the Spirit of the Lord, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we might see spiritual truth that the carnal mind just can't grasp. Father, I pray that you speak into each and every heart and life, Lord, what you desire. And Father, that you be glorified in and through our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week I told you about how the Lord blessed Jacob with two supernatural encounters that he had with the Lord, and how it changed his life and how it brought such a blessing on his life. But there were 20 years in between those two encounters. And in a way, it was kind of 20 years of everyday life. It was basically 20 years of work and family. That sounds like normal life to me. What do you think? But we need to realize that God is real, and he is active and at work in our everyday normal lives of work and family. God was at work in Jacob's life during that 20 years. He had those two big, huge supernatural encounters. But in that 20 years, God was also doing a work in Jacob. We need to understand that sometimes just in the ordinary of life, and seems like things don't change year after year, yet God is at work in our lives. Now, so that we get the right perspective for the message this morning, it's kind of important that we review again those earlier events of Jacob's life. I want to remind you that he conned his older brother out of his birthright. And then a few years later, he deceives his father into giving him the elder son blessing. Again, robbing Esau, the older brother. But he deceives his father. Well, that's when things kind of took a turn for the worse for Jacob. It all kind of blew up in his face. There were consequences for his actions, because then his older brother Esau has determined to kill Jacob. And it's at that point that Jacob flees. Jacob runs for his life. And of course, as we talked about, that's where he had that first encounter where God gave him a dream and he got a word from God. And God told him, he said, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to bring you back. When Jacob woke up from the dream, he made a vow to God, a vow that if God would be with him, and that if he would give him food to eat and clothes to wear, that's not much, is it? He said, if you give me food to eat and clothes to wear, then you will be my God, and I'll give you a tenth of everything that you give me. It's amazing. Jacob had such tragic consequence in his life as a result of his actions. Because of his actions, you need to kind of see this from Jacob's perspective. He had lived there with his family in that community and with those people and all his life, and now he has to leave, and he's going to be gone for 20 years. And Jacob, the homeboy, he just has to head out with nothing, not in a car, just a staff. He heads out with nothing. No cell phone, no internet, no contact with family or friends, nothing. He just heads out. That was the consequence of his actions. We need to understand that a lot of the time, we have consequences from our decisions and our choices. It's amazing to me, though, how that a lot of people in our culture today, and even in church culture, there's this attitude that people get that God is responsible for my consequences. It's God's fault that this is happening to me. I've actually heard things like this where a young lady who got pregnant out of wedlock said, "Why did God let this happen to me?" I can assure you, God didn't have anything to do with it. Like the man who tells his boss off and then he gets upset with the Lord. He says, "I don't know why the Lord is not providing for me." I'm just telling you that a lot of times in life there are consequences for our choices and our actions. And that's what happened to Jacob here. I have a word of warning for all of us, really, but especially for our young people. It's from Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." He's saying, hey, if you're a young person, you should enjoy your life. You ought to be having fun. I really believe that. I think young people ought to enjoy life. I think they ought to be having the time of their life. You know, growing up isn't all it's cracked up to be, right? I mean, y'all are being quiet on me. Most of us would like to return to the days of our youth. Well, young people, enjoy your life. But let me tell you something. He not only says to enjoy your life, but he warns and he says that God will bring you into judgment for the choices that you make. There will be consequences. And a lot of times people don't realize, especially when they're young, that those consequences can be lasting. It's one of the harsh realities of life is that many times young people make choices that affect the rest of their life. And so the scripture warns you, be careful, be wise, realize that you will have consequences for the choices that you make. And then in verse 10, he says, "Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart." Now, I think that's twofold. Remove sorrow from your heart. Number one, listen, if you're a young person, you ought to be happy. I'm just telling you, God wants you to be happy. You need to remove sorrow from your heart. But I also believe it is, again, a warning that if you want to remove sorrow from your life, then you make wise choices. He says, put away evil from your flesh. And then he says, for childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood and youth just goes by so fast. But you got to put away evil because the consequences can show up later in your life. So be wise about the choices that you make. What happened to Jacob was that in the choices that he made, it brought such trouble in his life, such difficult circumstances and consequences. Listen, but God was gracious to Jacob. He has this wonderful encounter with God. Jacob didn't do anything to deserve such an experience with the Lord. He was a scoundrel. I mean, Jacob lies and deceives his own family, trying to get the best of his loved ones. And yet, he goes to sleep and he has this fantastic dream where God makes him these promises. How did this happen? Let me tell you, it's pretty simple. It's just the grace of God. It's not because he deserved it or earned it in any way. It is just God's grace. Grace is unearned, undeserved favor and blessings from God. You know, sometimes people get the idea that grace is a New Testament thing, that it's a New Testament concept. And I can assure you that it is all through the Old Testament. The word grace may not be found as often in the Old Testament because many times those Hebrew words are translated as favor or mercy, but the concept of grace is all through the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have a greater understanding, a greater revelation of the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, God Himself, His person and character has not changed. Some people think, oh, the God of the Old Testament, he was mean and hard, and the God of the New Testament, he's not. No, no, no. God has not changed. He's the same God. In fact, when you start reading the Bible and you really look at how God dealt with his people, he's always been gracious. And he's so gracious to Jacob here to show up in Jacob's life. You see it. You see that grace in the lives of the greatest men of the scripture, men like Moses, called of God, and yet he kills a man and then hides the body. Now, there were consequences. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness as a result of that decision. That's a consequence. But here's the grace of God. God worked in his life in that 40 years and prepared him and then brought him back as a great leader for the nation of Israel. That's the grace of God. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. It was just the grace of God working in his life. Great man like King David, so close to God, and yet at some point he drifted away and he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. But God was merciful to him. God showed him grace. God still blessed him. And I'm telling you, when you look at the scripture and what happens with the men and the women of God in the scripture, you see this over and over. It's not that they deserved God's blessings in their life. It was just the grace of God. In fact, if you read the book of Genesis, and if you haven't read it straight through in a while, I just encourage you to read the book of Genesis straight through, because so many powerful stories of the patriarchs and how God moved and worked in their life. Just consider, you know, we look at these men and women of God and we hold them in such high esteem, and we should, but listen to me, I can assure you it was God's grace working in their life. How about Noah? I mean, the world got so bad that God just said, you know what, I'm just going to wipe them all out except for this one guy, Noah, and his family. The Bible says that Noah found grace or favor, depending on the translation you look at. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's the guy, the preacher of righteousness, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And just a short time after the flood, Noah is just flat out, passed out drunk. And this was the one guy that found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The pickings must have been pretty slim. That's all I got to say. Now listen, it's the grace of God. Go just a little bit down the road there and you come to Abraham, the great father of faith. The Bible calls him the friend of God. And I'm telling you, Abraham was a great man of God, a great man of faith. He was unwavering in his faith in regard to the promise of a son. And yet Abraham lies to protect his own skin. He tells people that his wife is his sister. Well, it was a half-truth because she was his half-sister. I don't think that makes it better. Then a little later, Abraham is all too quick to go along with Sarah's idea for him to sleep with her servant girl Hagar in order to have a son. Now, some people think, oh, well, you know, that's Old Testament before the law. God didn't care about all that stuff. Listen, God's holiness hasn't changed. The law came, and we realize the holy standards of God. We realize more. We have a greater revelation. You know what that means? To whom much is given, much is required. But I can assure you that that was never okay with God. It was the grace of God. How about Sarah? First, she takes this servant girl and she says, you're going to have a child for us. And then when she does, she treats her so bad that poor Hagar flees with her baby and heads out in the wilderness all alone. God speaks to her and tells her to go back and submit to her mistress Sarah. But I'm just telling you, these great men and women, it was the grace of God at work in their life. How about Isaac followed in the footsteps of dear old dad when he had a beautiful wife in Rebekah? Now, she wasn't his half-sister, so he couldn't play that game. But he tells her to tell people, say that you're my sister so they don't kill me to take my beautiful wife. These are the great men of faith. And then we come to Jacob. Jacob's not any better. In fact, he might be the worst of the lot. And yet, by the grace of God, God works in his life and blesses him. Wow. He lies, he deceives, he manipulates. You know, I think if I was writing the Bible, I would have left out a lot of that stuff. Right? I mean, especially if I was Moses, you know, Moses at least oversaw the writing of the first five books of the Bible. I mean, at least in regards to himself, you would think, hey, let's just edit out some of this stuff. We don't come off looking too great on some of these stories. You know what I mean? But let me tell you why it's so important for us to see that. Because they were just like us. They had weaknesses and frailty. They made mistakes. They made wrong choices. And sometimes there were consequences. But through it all, God's grace was at work in their life. And he blessed them, not because of themselves, but in spite of themselves. And it's real life. These are real people with real problems, and yet God moved and worked in their life. Now, after his dream, Jacob makes a vow to God, as I said, that if God will give him food to eat and clothes to wear and be with him, that he will be his God and he'll give him a tenth of everything that he has. And Jacob travels on hundreds of miles to his relatives and to his uncle Laban's. And he sees Rachel. And she is beautiful. And he is so smitten with her that immediately he's in love with her and he wants to marry her. Well, Laban tells Jacob, he says, you know, just because you're my family doesn't mean you should work for me for nothing. He says, so what will your wages be? And Jacob says, I'll work for you for 7 years. They agree that if he'll work for him for 7 years, he can marry Rachel. She must have been pretty. His only pay was food, clothing, get to work to earn the privilege of marrying Rachel. But the Bible says it seemed as just a few days to Jacob. That's how much he loved her. He loved her so much, it says, it seemed like just a few days to him. Some people now, they think they're so in love, they can't wait 7 days. Listen, if it's real love, it'll still be there in 7 years. You don't need to be in a hurry if God's in it. That's good preaching. That's good advice. I'm just telling you, it'll last if God's in it. But that's when things kind of turn ugly for Jacob, because when the 7 years are up, he goes to Uncle Laban. By the way, Rachel's his cousin. Y'all catch that? Weird stuff that goes on here. Anyway, he goes to Uncle Laban and he says, some of you think kissing cousins is bad. How about, anyway, Uncle Laban, it's time. The 7 years are up, and it's time for me to get to marry Rachel. Laban says, you're right. Okay, so he throws a big marriage feast. But then he deceives Jacob, because instead of sending Rachel into the bridal chamber, he sends Leah, her older sister. The next day, Jacob realizes what has happened, and he's like, what have you done to me? You deceived me. Sometimes you reap what you sow. Consequences. How ironic that he deceived his own father to try to get a blessing, and now he has been deceived and he's married the wrong woman. But Laban makes a deal with him. He says, in a week, I'll let you marry Rachel if you'll work for me for another 7 years. I'm telling you, Jacob had met his match. Laban was a deceiver and a manipulator, and he was out to get the best of Jacob. He works for him for another 7 years, and at the end of that 14 years, this is what he has. He has had food and clothing and his wives, and God has blessed him with family. But listen, that's it. He has no possessions. 14 years, he's worked hard and done what he was supposed to do. He has nothing to show for it other than his family. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, that's me. I've been working and working and working, paying the bills, never get ahead, just paying the bills, and just me and my family. But I want you to realize that God is at work in your life. Do not think that God has just left you or looked the other way. No, he is gracious and he is working in your life. Jacob now goes to Laban and tells him that since the 14 years are up, he's going to leave. But Laban doesn't want him to leave because he sees the blessing of God on Jacob, and he sees how that God has blessed his flocks because of Jacob. Now, you need to realize this. You need to know the background of this, that Laban didn't believe in Yahweh. He had his own gods. But he sees that Yahweh is the one that has blessed Jacob. And by the way, whenever you see in the Old Testament, you see Lord in all capitals, that is not the title Lord in Hebrew. It is the name Yahweh. And so when Laban is talking to him about this, he's talking about Jacob's God. He's talking about Yahweh. It's chapter 30, verse 27 and 28 of Genesis. He says, "Please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord, that Yahweh, has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name your wages and I'll give it." And so they came to an agreement that Jacob's wages would be any lambs that were brown and any goats that were spotted or streaked. Now, Jacob goes into this whole process of using poles and branches that were streaked and spotted, and he put them in front of the animals when it was time to breed. But I can assure you, you can do that all day long for the next 10 years. It's not going to make your sheep or your goats spotted or streaked or brown. Just telling you, it was God that did it. And God began to bless Jacob, and for 6 years, he blessed him over and over and over. There was this huge increase of the spotted, the streaked, and the brown livestock until Jacob became very, very rich. Remember, after 14 years, he had a great family, but he didn't have any possessions. He didn't own anything. But now, in just 6 years, he has become a very wealthy, wealthy man. How did this happen to this old scoundrel? It's the grace of God. Jacob, at the end of the 6 years, he realizes that Laban and Laban's sons are jealous. In fact, they began to think that Jacob was stealing from them or taking advantage, that they were losing all of their wealth. And so Jacob realized that their countenance had changed towards him. And then the Lord spoke to him and told him, "It's time for you to leave and go back to your family." And so Jacob tells his wives about his plans to leave. And this is found in Genesis 31. And I want to read from 4 through 13. "So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock and said to them, 'I see your father's countenance that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, 'The speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, 'The streaked shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked. And God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at that time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, 'Jacob, And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. And his wives agree to go with him. But part of the story that we need to see here is that Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years, and Laban continually tried to change his wages, tried to take advantage of him, tried to mistreat him, but God just kept blessing him. You might have a boss who doesn't treat you fairly, doesn't pay you right. I can tell you that by the grace of God, God will continue to bless you. You might have family that mistreats you. Listen, it won't stop the blessing of God. In fact, no matter what they do, God can continue to pour blessings into your life by his grace. He's that gracious. You may think your situation is unfair, that you can never win. God is able to bless you by his grace, in spite of your mistakes and in spite of what others may do to you. They leave without telling Laban because they were afraid that he would try to stop them from leaving. But Laban tracks them down, and when he finally catches up to them, here's what Jacob says to Laban. It's Genesis 31, 38 through 42. He says, these 20 years I've been with you, your ewes and your family goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beast, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Therefore, there I was. And in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and the sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I've been in your house 20 years. I've served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Jacob was a tither. He was a hard worker. And this old swindler had been fair and done right and justly in his dealings with Laban, hadn't cheated him out of anything. Everything he did, he tried to take care and do right by Laban. But he knows that it's God who blessed him. He said, if it wasn't for the Lord, you would have taken away everything from me. He realizes that it was the blessing of God that he was able to leave with the wealth that he had acquired. He's a wealthy man now. And as we talked about last week, after this event, he's heading back home and he's going to face his brother Esau, which is, of course, is where he wrestled with God. But before that happened, when he is knows that he's about to face Esau and he's afraid, he prays. And I want to read part of that prayer because it tells us something very important about Jacob and about God working in his life. It's Genesis 32, 9 through 11. It says, then Jacob said, O God of my father and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who spoke to me, return to your country and to your family and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. One translation says two armies. He has this huge family and thousands of livestock. God has blessed him so much. And he says, I am not worthy of the least of your mercies and your truth that you've shown me. He says, I came over this Jordan with just a staff. I realized I had absolutely nothing when I came here. And you have blessed me. It's all you. He didn't say, you know, God, I'm a tither and I'm a hard worker and I've done this and I've done that and I've earned what I got. You know, it's kind of the American way. Come on now. Some of y'all are thinking, yeah, that's right. I earned what I got. I worked for everything I got. You better not leave God out of the picture. You better realize that whatever you've got in your life, it is the blessing of God, that God has been gracious to you. And church, if we get a hold of this truth as Jacob did, I'm telling you, it'll open up the windows of heaven and more blessings for us. As long as we think that we earned everything we got, that pride will block up the grace of God in your life. No, something had happened to Jacob in that 20 years. It wasn't just that God had blessed him with a wonderful family and with wealth, but this old prideful scoundrel now was a humble man, and he didn't take any of the credit, but he gave it all to God. He said, I'm not worthy. Listen, of the least of your mercies. We need to realize our mistakes and our failures, they're not too big for God. They're not too much for God's grace. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But we also need to realize that even in our best efforts, and I want you to understand, you should tithe, you should work hard, you should do what's right and just and fair. But you need to realize that it is the blessing of God on your life that increases you. We're not worthy of the least of his mercies. We in the New Testament, oh, we have a greater revelation of that. And yet, when I look at the patriarchs, it seems like somehow they understood it and lived it better than we do a lot of the time. I want to testify today, as I said earlier, that this week I will have been married 33 years to the sweetest woman in the world. Made a lot of wrong choices in my life, but one of the best choices I ever made was to marry that sweet little girl. What a blessing. Don't deserve it, but what a blessing. So many blessings have come into my life as a result. All the Lord. I am so blessed to have my two adult children working with me in the ministry and serving at our church. And I know that there are those that might think nepotism or say some negative thing about that, but I got to tell you, both of them have an anointing and gifting on their life. They could go across the country. They could be anywhere else involved in ministry. But I am so blessed to have my own children working with me in the ministry. It makes me feel like the richest man in the world. What a blessing. I'm just telling you, that is God. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just not there, okay? But I'm just going to tell you, how does he get a wife like that? I don't know. Just the grace of God. That's it. I made lots of mistakes with my kids. Did lots of stupid things. Said things I shouldn't have said. I made lots of mistakes. How did this happen? It's just the grace of God. I don't deserve it. And I pastor this great church of sweet, loving people. I am so privileged to pastor this church. How did that happen to one like me? The grace of God, just the grace of God, that's it. I'm not going to say, oh, I worked hard and I did this or I did that. Listen, it's the grace of God, just the grace of God. And we built this beautiful building, And I've had ministers say to me, Mark, look what you've done. And I say, no, it's just God. It's just God. Well, yeah, but you know, God didn't do it without you. He used you. You're the one. You got it done. No, it's just God. I'm telling you, it's just the grace of God working in our lives. And we need to realize and acknowledge it, that it's the blessing of the Lord by His grace, not because we deserved it. The day that we think that He owes us, we have fallen into pride. We are forever in His debt. Forever. Jacob became very wealthy, very prosperous, not only in material things, but in family. He has 12 sons eventually that became the 12 tribes of Israel, that great nation. But at the same time, as God is working this in his life and blessing him and making him prosperous, he's doing a work in Jacob and making him a humble man, and the two are no coincidence. The once prideful Jacob meets up with brother Esau, and Esau first asks him about all of the people with him. Genesis 33 and 5, he says, who are these with you? And he says, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. God graciously gave your servant. And then when Jacob offers Esau this extravagant gift of hundreds of animals, and at first Esau rejects it, this is what Jacob says. Listen, for Genesis 33:11, please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. See, he didn't say, hey, big brother, man, I have got it together. I don't need your old inheritance. Look what I've done. Man, I have been working hard. This is my entrepreneurial spirit. I got this all done. Look at this. Wow, I'm something. That's the way a lot of believers today would handle it. Jacob wasn't like that. He says, God has dealt graciously with me. I'm telling you, we serve a God who loves us so much. He wants to bless us. He is a gracious God. And we need to realize that He's working in our lives for our good, and He wants to bless us. Listen, you might be in one of those stages of life like Jacob was in that 20-year period where it seems like you're going nowhere and you're just working hard, taking care of family. But realize that in the midst of that, God is working in your life, and He can bring about great blessings in your life. The grace of God can just overflow in your life. And all of a sudden, where it looked like you were never going to get anywhere, and all of a sudden, got a brand new building built. And I got to tell you, part of that testimony, and some of you have heard this before, but in building this building, you know, there were years that it just seemed like it just kept being put off and put off and put off and put off, and nobody wanted it to happen more than me. But, you know, some of those who were naysayers and criticized and opposed and even spoke negative things against our church and against me personally, and wrote me letters saying, we know that you're taking offerings and you're never going to build a building. You're just taking that money. We're going to contact Fox 4 News. Here's what I got to say to you. You need to realize that your enemies and those who oppose you and those who mistreat you can't stop what God wants to do in your life. And when you look at Jacob, you can see that many times, listen, even your own mistakes, yes, there are consequences, but God still did in Jacob's life what He spoke over him. He still fulfilled His plan in Jacob's life and through his life. That's the grace of God. It's like the Apostle Paul. We have to be willing to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. We have to humble ourselves and give God the glory. Has God dealt graciously with you? He has, whether you realize it or not. But I want to encourage you to count on the grace of God, to trust Him, to believe for His grace in your life. Let me read to you from Psalms 103, verse 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailty. He knows that we are human. He knows how much we need His grace. Many times in the scripture, after God changes Jacob's name to Israel, He still refers to him as Jacob. And it's not because God has gone back on His word, but it is just to remind us, to remind Jacob, to remind Israel, and to remind us that we are still human. That we need God's mercy and grace all the days of our life. That we can't ever get away from that need for the grace of God in our life. You know, it ought to be simple for us as New Testament believers to trust in His grace and to believe in His grace, because that's how we all got saved. It's by grace you are saved, through faith. And I want you to get that this morning. Listen, that's not only how you receive salvation, but so many blessings from God. You can't earn the blessings of God. You receive them by grace, through faith. So I'm challenging you this morning to believe in the grace of God, that by His grace, not by your works, not by your goodness, listen, it's not those things that's going to get God to move on your behalf. It is the grace of God. Believe that in His grace that He will move and work on your behalf. Listen, pride is the grace killer. It is a roadblock to grace. James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's as simple as this. You can't receive something that you didn't earn until you admit you didn't deserve it. Pride will cause you to miss the grace of God. The mistakes, the wrong choices, sometimes there are consequences. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'm telling you that God's grace is bigger than your mistakes. You can trust Him. In our weakness, remember what He told the Apostle Paul? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." You see, it's in our weakness then we become strong. I'm telling you, church, we need to learn to trust a Heavenly Father who is so gracious, so good to us. Lay aside pride, put it away from us, and lean hard on His grace and trust in Him. I want you to stand with me, and as our prayer partners come, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word to us, little Father, but I thank You for Your graciousness. Lord, that You love us so much. Lord, if You were to judge us, who could stand? How we need You. How we need Your mercy, Your grace in our life every day. Your blessing. Your favor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray this morning that you would just draw the one that's far away. I pray, Father, that you would soften the hard heart. I pray, Father, that those who've been lifted up in pride would find humility this morning. And Lord, that we might all be the recipients of such great grace. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss the congregation in just a moment, but I know there are some of you here this morning that you're in that 20-year period, just kind of working, doing family, going through the motions. By the grace of God, let God work in your life. He wants to do something greater in and through you. After Jacob was so blessed by God, he became a blessing to others. And I want to tell you, God wants to bless you in his grace, not so you can brag about it, not so you can brag about what you've done or you've accomplished, but so you can tell others, God has dealt graciously with me. Some of you here this morning, you realize that you've allowed pride to get in. You've taken credit instead of giving God credit. And I want you to know that God loves you and he forgives you, and you can remove that roadblock today. Just humble yourself before the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. And some of you here this morning, you know you've made mistakes. You know that you don't deserve it. But if you can believe, I'm telling you, God can bless you out of his grace. Whatever need you might have this morning, our prayer partners are here to pray with you and believe God together with you. So as we dismiss this morning, if you need prayer, don't be in a hurry. You let God have his way in your heart. As you go out from this place today, go in the grace of God, the hand of God, the hand of God's blessing upon you, so that you can be a blessing in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you.